The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Friday edition of a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown in one more day for Gil Alexander. Don't worry. Back in on Monday.
I see him tweeting. I see him tweeting this morning. So he, I think he's working his way back into civilization.
Only 3 more hours of me. So rejoice out there.
Hey, Matt Brown. You've
Kelly Bidlin here on the desk with me.
You've done an amazing job. Thank you for filling in the past 2 weeks. You make it fun, easy. It's like talking to one of my best friends about sports every day.
Oh, well, look at that. It's almost as if that is the case.
Yeah.
Guys, we have a great show today. As always, we're going to sit here and talk how many plays Jonathan Davis has in hockey?
Baker's dozen.
Okay, we're going to say a Baker's dozen of different bets for Jonathan Davis. So you're definitely going to want to stick around for that. You'll find something you like that you can throw into your account for sure. Chris Felica is going to join us a little bit later as well. We might hit 3 different sports with him.
I love Felica Fridays because, yes, it is spray the board. He's got thoughts all over the place. We'll talk NFL draft. I know he's got an MLB season-long bet for you that I think that you might find interesting.
You're like, sucker!
And then a Premier League bet. Yeah. And he's in on a team that I'm already in on, so I like that. Yeah, that's right. You can have that look on your face.
No, I was just trying to think of where that was going, but okay. All right.
I almost just said it. Like, I probably shouldn't ruin it.
Yeah, I don't want to tease it. And then Matt Grissom will join us a little bit later for some college baseball as we have started college baseball season in earnest now. So everybody out there and LSU rocking and rolling. I can't wait to ask him about it.
I was going
to
say, Matt might have also unintentionally put together a perfect numbers game parlay today.
Yeah, I was like, can you do this on purpose?
No, he didn't. There's one more leg we got to add to it, though, which is obviously USA hockey that we just got to throw in there. Then it is a numbers game, Matt and Kelly, the Matt finale parlay.
Absolutely beautiful. Yesterday, the Genesis was postponed due to all of the weather. Of course, we were on as the weather began, and then it got really, really bad out there, and we actually felt we knew it was coming here. We actually got it here as well, and so with that, they're going to have to finish up this morning and then get back out there and try to get round 2 in as well. Remember, this is a cut event, even though it is an elevated event. It is a cut event, 50 ties, and then anyone within 10, and maybe for the only time this entire season, we will say we start this morning with Scottie Scheffler in dead last place.
It is. It's incredible. It's incredible. It was incredible to watch yesterday. It's been incredible to watch the next few weeks. And like, Matt, this is the fact that this is just going to continue now to be a storyline. That was the biggest thing to me yesterday. It's like this Scottie Scheffler first round thing is going to be something we're talking about now for the next 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks.
I do not know what's going on. I mean, we talk about how mental of a game that golf is anyway, but the fact that he has now, for the third consecutive tournament, gone out and played basically as bad as he can play in just the first round, and we will see if this mirrors the last two tournaments where he comes out the next 3 days and just absolutely destroys the course, which very well might happen because, by the way, he got the worst of it yesterday.
Yes, he did. He did. But from the weather standpoint. Yeah, he absolutely did. I think the one thing for me, though, do you remember seeing him as frustrated the last couple weeks as he was yesterday? He looked very, very frustrated with a lot of aspects of his game yesterday. That has me a little bit more concerned going forward this week than in the past weeks. I feel a little bit better. I have a bet on Scottie Scheffler. Obviously, that's looking like I will not have an outright winner this week at all. Feel a little bit better, though, how many text messages I got yesterday, Matt, because you and I are in the same boat of the, man, wrong tournament to go with Scottie Scheffler 1-and-done. Yeah. Great.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Who knows?
Yeah.
As long as he makes the cut, which is crazy to say, as long as he makes the cut, he is still alive.
The other one I got texted a million times yesterday was what was the missed cut number on Scottie? Like, I don't know because I don't think every book posted it, but, like, I guarantee you there is one out there.
Oh, yeah. It'd have been.
God bless you if you're, like, the one human being on the planet that actually bet that.
Yeah, if you have that, good on you, because that is certainly not something we saw coming here in this one. So over in the NBA, Adam Silver informed the league's 30 GMs that they will be making anti-tanking rules next season, Kelly Bidlin. And so some of the stuff that has been discussed,
first-round
draft picks can be protected only for top 4 or top 14 plus selection. Lottery odds freeze at the trade deadline. Come on.
Could you do this one by one and do the immediate reaction?
Yes.
Okay, first round draft picks can be protected. Top four, top 14. Meh, okay.
Fine.
Sure, fine.
Lottery odds freeze the trade deadline. Yeah, let's just...
It's the easiest thing. People have brought this one up the whole time. Teams will just lose earlier in the season.
It makes the season... No, it makes the season worse.
It makes the season worse.
Exponentially worse. Because then they just start tanking basically out of the gate.
Yep.
And you do not want that. Okay, so let's get rid of... No longer allowing a team to pick in the top four in consecutive years and or after a consecutive bottom three finish. This is actually something we floated here on the show, which actually, so if I floated it, I'm going to say yes. I like this one. This is good.
I'm okay with this one. Again, we're talking about things that we might be okay with. They're not going to fix the problem, right?
But
this one's fine. But you know why this one's in here, Matt, is simply because of like the Washington Wizards and the Utah Jazz and the Brooklyn Nets of the past few years. Because it's you've just been bad and you continue to be bad and you're just waiting and waiting and waiting for that perfect prize. So if you're going to have teams act like that, I'm okay with a rule like this.
A couple of lottery things here that like odds allocated based on two-year records and then extended to include all play-in teams. No. I mean,
the play-in one I may be fine with, but isn't this okay? The lottery to the 2 year record one, isn't that kind of contradictory to the one right above it of the can't pick top four? Like you want to say we want to reward the team that's been consistently bad with one bullet point, but not with the other.
I know this one's like I don't really love any flatten odds for all our. I'm fine with that too. Okay, I'm fine with that. Like okay,
yeah,
because we're going to get teams that tank anyway. So super tanking doesn't make it any better than just normal tanking.
Right.
I'm at least okay with that.
So the one in the, one that is not shown on here, right? The only thing that can actually, in my opinion, that I believe can have a true effect on curbing tanking. If this is what you're really trying to do, it's shortening the season. And that's never going to happen because the owners lose money that way. Right. So that's one. And then the other one that the one that's been floated, Matt, that I'm the most open to, we've talked about this, I'm the most open to, but it's another one that's never going to happen because of NBA economics. Okay, here's your salary cap. These kids, it's a disaster in college basketball right now anyway, so I don't really know why we care. 18 years old, you can go play pro basketball, and it's just a bidding war. But you got a cap that you got to worry about still. I like that the best, but that's never going to happen because the small market teams are going to say, now the big market teams even have more of an advantage. If we can't lose and get to the top of the draft and they're there at the draft, they're still going to attract big name free agents. Now everybody's a free agent. We're screwed.
Yeah. It's just interesting stuff here. Again, I don't love any of them. I mean, at the end of the day, I think basically either flattening the odds or just basically going back to an old school NFL style draft would be the way that I would go about it. Thunder.
The one thing you shouldn't do if you're an NBA owner is, have an opinion on this tanking situation and then take to Twitter and compare it to a prop betting scandal.
Yeah.
Matt Ishbia. Did you catch that yesterday?
Yeah, I know.
I was like, nobody even asked you this. Like, it's different if somebody asks you which is worse, right? You just came out and said it. Like, a prop betting scandal is pretty bad too, man. Pretty bad.
A bunch of NBA news here. Thunder are going to be without SGA and Jalen Williams for a while longer. SGA will be reevaluated in a week. Williams in 2 weeks. So Kelly Bidlin, a big shift here from what we were kind of thinking. I think everyone just assumed SGA would be back very shortly after. It's not saying he'll be back in a week. They're saying reevaluated in a week. So sure, if he's good to go, they'll let him go, but like he might not be. And so this is reevaluation in a week with him, and it's 2 weeks for Williams.
Yeah, huge, and impacts a lot of betting markets, right? I think most notably, we talked about this with MVP over the past week and a half. What would his status be? And is this a time we're going to start seeing a shift and we should be making some bets?
We'll get to that here in a second.
Yeah, we've seen the shift and we've made some bets, so we'll get to that.
Sham says that that Steph's going to be, he will be reevaluated in 10 days. So another week and a half at least for him, but that's just a reevaluation.
Mm-hmm. Another good call by you, I think, on the under on the win total. Celtics were easy last night. It's really tough to take this Warriors team seriously with no Steph.
Yeah, it really is. Rockets win. Don't cover the 4.5 versus the Hornets. That was a 105-101 game. But Kevin Durant says, hey, man, this old guy can still play. 35 points, 8 boards, 4 assists, and 3 blocks for him in that one.
Yeah, great game. Watched a lot of that. Look, Hornets were still plucky. They were still plucky down some guys.
In cover.
Hey, yeah. Got the cover, actually, which was a miracle.
Yeah.
But Houston looking good last night in a win.
Cavs win 112-84 over the Nets. The Cavs had 102 points after the third quarter, Kelly.
Yep.
They only scored 10 points in the fourth quarter. It was just unbelievable. The Nets shot 49 threes in the game. Just to let you know, like, how YOLO they went in this thing. 10 Cavs played at least 16 minutes, and only one guy played more than 24. That was James Harden. He only played 28. So a fresh Cavs team here out of the break.
Yeah, keep that in mind, because I'm back on them tonight and going against the Hornets for basically that exact reason, right?
Hawks won outright over the Sixers, 117-107. Jalen Johnson, 35 points, 10 boards, 5 assists, 3 steals. He did miss all 5 of his threes, if you want to poke holes in the game there, Kelly. But can still get him in the most improved player market there at 210.
Yeah, well, it's all about Denny in the back, man. Mm-hmm. We'll talk a little bit of that, too, when we talk awards. But that's a fascinating market to me to watch down the stretch.
And to pay off the tease here, the Pistons beat the Knicks, 126-111. Cade Cunningham goes 42 points, 8 boards, 13 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks, and with that, down to plus 550 at DraftKings for MVP. We have been talking about Cade Cunningham for 2 weeks since I've been sitting on this desk for Gil, and kind of making the case for putting in a bet, especially if you were loaded up on SGA.
Mm-hmm.
And now it might be a little bit too late, but it's still out there. We don't know if SGA. We don't know when SGA is going to be back. That is the biggest thing about this.
Yep. And you don't know if Jokic is going to qualify, if Wemby's going to qualify. Mm. Real quick on that game. Statement game by both teams last night.
Yeah.
Right? The Pistons looked prepared. They were down guys, and they made the Knicks look like clowns. And people like me, they keep trying to say this is the most talented team out East. They get out-coached, out-schemed, out-efforted, looked like absolute clowns last night.
Jalen Brunson did have 33.6 boards and 8 assists in the loss. But again, that didn't get much done there as they lose by 15. Jonathan Davis on hockey when we come back.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN, the sports betting network, here on a Friday. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, and we will still more NBA stuff to get to. We'll get to that here in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, took all one day of the NBA being back to fire me up.
Yeah, there was a lot of action last night, a lot of big performances, a lot of terrible performances as well that we will talk about because, man, it is, again, this is the sprint part. LeBron kind of said it right in his little interview. He's like, okay, we've done the marathon part. Here's the sprint part. And we're kind of starting to see the pieces fall in line. I'm not saying that we can make definitive statements after one night of the NBA being back, but I kind of start to see things a little clearly, I think.
Well, good for you, because I would say the Pistons-Knicks game just made it even murkier for me, where I'm like, okay, during the break, I kept saying Knicks. And you're like, I got so frustrated during that game with them. I'm like, you know what? I don't trust any of these teams in the Eastern Conference right now. Like, yes, I think there's a tier above the rest, but I don't trust any of them to go win an NBA championship right now. And what's going on in the Western Conference? I don't trust anybody right now out there either. So guess what? Down the stretch, these teams can prove a lot to me.
All right. Now joining us here on the program, Jonathan Davis. You can find him, of course, over not only over at VSiN.com, but also host of the Ice Cap over on Sirius XM at West Coast HKY over there on the Twitter machine. Did you add new things to is now West Coast Hockey NHL? What have you done to this thing?
I had to add NHL because I got hacked and I was trying to keep it simple, a little, you know, so people would be easier to find me. But yeah, it's West Coast Hockey HKY NHL.
Oh, that sucks, John. Okay. I'm sorry, man.
So we're going to. I'm going to spend, I just want to let you know, JD, I'm going to spend the next 2 hours and 45 minutes that I'm in here finding you a new Twitter handle, just like I tried to do with a friend of ours here at the network, Nick Whalen. He has a horrible handle as well. It's WHA, and then he can't use the L, so he uses a 1, and then it's he has to explain it every single time that he does it. And so I go in and I look and I go, certainly Nick Whalen's not like a normal name. So I'm like, could he just be Nick Whalen? I go in and look. There was a guy who registered Nick Whalen way back 15 years ago. he tweeted for a week about how much he hated his job and his boss and then has not tweeted since. So literally came in every single day and talked about how much he hated his life and how much he hated his job, and then he's never tweeted again 15 years later.
I'm going to guess there's a few more Jonathan Davises out there.
Yes, but I mean, we might can get creative.
We might be able to get creative.
We can get creative on all of this. Jay, before we get going, what did you think about the women's final?
I mean, it was entertaining. I'm just not big into women's hockey. Like, I don't want to be rude, you know, but it's just not. It was a good game. Let's leave it at that. Good game, great finish. But you know, women's hockey, it's no mystery. It's always going to be Canada and the U.S. and that's it. And then we'll figure out who wins.
I like it. I like it. All right, JD, let's switch over to today. We've got the men's games going on here. I'll let you start wherever you want to, because I know you got a million bets between the couple games that we're looking at here today. You want to start with Finland, Canada?
Sure. I mean, let's start there. I mean, the big news for Canada is Sidney Crosby, their captain, won't play. So, you know, they're still wealth of talent with Canada. And I'm trying, you know, I was trying to find best ways to attack it. So for me, you know, we're not wanting to lay the juice. I took a couple of different approaches. One was Connor McDavid to register a shot on goal in every period and Canada to win the game. And you get that at plus money. And then I took Canada on the money line, and I took Slovakia, who's playing the USA, plus 3.5 goals. That's an alt line, and I got plus money. So those were a couple of ways that I took the sides and found a way to get some plus money.
And you have a decent amount of goal bets and shot bets and things like that. So let's just start with your favorite one. As you were doing your research and you were going through, what was the very first one you put in your account?
Macklin Celebrini from Canada to score a goal. You know, the youngest NHL player in the tournament, second in points for Canada. But you get him at plus money, I had to grab it. That one for me was great. And then a couple of late ones that I added because of the injury to Sidney Crosby, you know, just a couple of pizza money bets. But there are two guys that for Canada that have moved up in the lineup, and they're on the second line. And that's Bo Horvat and Seth Jarvis. And you can get Horvat at plus 500 to score a goal. You can get Jarvis at plus 550. That's just incredible value for two players that are playing way up in the lineup.
Like, what was the name of our NASCAR driver? Like, it's the same thing.
Horvath.
It was almost that, yeah.
Horsevar.
Still haven't gotten over that one. Jonathan, obviously. And I'm just seeing right now, it blink up my screen, Canada up to minus 440 on the money line, plus 340 Finland, 5.5 your total for that game. You can lay 2.5 at 114 with Canada. Okay, flipping over, Slovakia, USA, this game starts in about 5 hours from now. I know the whole country is going to be locked in. Break down this one for us, Jonathan. What's your favorite bet in the game?
Favorite bet in the game? I actually like both teams to go over their shots on goal total. You can get the USA at 40.5, and you can get Slovakia at 22.5. And I just, you know, I'm looking at the numbers, both those teams have crushed it. So those would be two of my favorite plays, along with Slovakia over their team total of 1.5 goals. They've scored 3 goals in every game. Now, I know, look, Connor Hellebuck has only given up 4 goals in the tournament, but I like this Slovakia team. I think they surprised the U.S., not beat the U.S., but surprised them. So you're getting over 1.5 at minus 110. I think that's tremendous value.
JD, when we look at these two games, you've got Canada minus 440 on the money line. You got U.S. minus 800 on the money line. I'm sure the odds would tell us which one is more likely to get upset. But in your opinion, what is the fighting chance for Finland or Slovakia on the money line? If somebody wants a lottery ticket here today.
I think they're both live. I would say Finland probably a little more than Slovakia. I mean, the Finns just... They're that team that just they won't go away. They're like a little gnat. They're so pesky. They're going to make life tough for Canada for sure. They've got a lot of skill. You know, a number of NHL players on this roster, so I could see it. And plus, you know, like I said, Sidney Crosby's out. Nathan MacKinnon is dealing with an injury, so I think that Canada may be a little more vulnerable. I would even look at both games to go to overtime. I mean, we've, you know, the last three men's games, and the women's game went to a draw, you can get, I think, overtime game to go to overtime is like plus 650 in the Canada game and about plus 550 in the USA game. Again, pizza money bets, but, you know, it's worth a shot for both of those.
Yeah, I think pretty notable to me, Matt, just sitting here talking to Jake and Jonathan here over these past few days, the Slovakia, they just kind of getting the bets. And I, you know, betting USA out there, I'm going to be watching this because Slovakia's made things close here recently this week, and tough team that they've proven to be so far. Okay, so who wins it all, Jonathan? USA going to bring home another gold? Is my gold medal bet not dead yet?
It's not dead. Look, look. You see I'm wearing the Canadian jersey. I have Canada in pocket at plus 110 to win gold. I'm going to stick with it. But, I mean, look, flip a coin. I mean, there's no bad bet if you took either Canada or the U.S. to win gold. They are the two best teams. It's just, you know, it's where, I guess, really where your heart lies at the end of the day.
Jonathan, once we get back into action over in the NHL, there's only four teams that are shorter than 10-1 to win it all. The Avalanche are plus 350, the Lightning 4-1, 4.5 on the Hurricanes, and 8-1 on the Golden Knights. Everybody else 12-1 or longer. Do you agree with that? Do you think it comes from one of those four teams, or do you like one of these teams with a little bit bigger number attached to their name?
I wouldn't. Yeah, I do like those four teams. I think Tampa, to me, like, I would even bet, you know, I would like Tampa just even to win their conference. I think that's another way you could approach the Lightning, because I think they ultimately, to me, they are the best team in the East, and I think they're going to get stronger at the trade deadline. They've got the best coach in the NHL. They'll get healthier down the stretch. So for me, even if you don't like, if you don't want to make a cup bet, I think conference bet is a really good one with Tampa.
He is Jonathan Davis. Of course, you can find him right here on the network over on VSiN.com. Also, Ice Cap on Sirius XM at West Coast HKLMNOPQRSTUVNHL over on the Twitter machine if you want to follow him over there as well. JD, appreciate the time, man, and good luck.
Thanks, guys. Have a great rest of your day.
Oh, these people with their... See, listen, I know the perils of the Twitter handle. Don't look at me like that. My name is Matt Brown. There are 700,000 Matt Browns. Like, I had to get... But I just added two little things at the end, right? Because it's just easy. But okay, it's Matt Brown M2.
It cracks me up how frustrated you get over this, just because like Waylon with a one is just as easy to explain as Matt Brown M2.
No, it's not. Waylon with a one could mean like Waylon and then a one at the end, or Waylon. What you said? No, seriously. Like you have to explain it. It's Waylon, but the L is a one instead, and whatever. And all, like, no, it's not. It's not the same at all.
Well, just make sure to hit him up on Twitter at Matt Brown M2, and he will solve any of your social media problems.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Kelly Bidlin, I'm here. I'm just thinking about how many more followers could JD and Waylon have if they had easy to find Twitter.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've got my mine's my full name. I don't know that that's helping me, because you know how often I'm like, hey, I'd love to follow you. I'd love to follow you on Twitter, but I have no idea how to spell your name.
I mean, it's better than whatever you had before.
Beeson Kelly?
Yeah, something like that. NBA when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Appreciate you being with us here on a Friday. Sirius Channel 158, YouTube TV, our very own VSiN Watch app, Game Plus, terrestrial station across this great country of ours. I've stirred up the hornet's nest here, I guess, on the whole Twitter.
I love our listeners so much. You never know what's really going to hit home. Actually, I do. I know when I make a hot food take. Or drink take. I know we're going to get a lot of tweets. It's never about sports betting. You know what I mean? Get flooded if you have a hot food take. But I don't know if I was expecting Twitter handle controversy to really fire people up.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, here's the thing. I think that the easier you are to find, the more simple it is, the better. And the only reason that I am Matt Brown M2 is because I had to add something obviously to the end, because there's a million Matt Browns. And M2, I had this company. My very first company was called M2 Concepts.
There you go. I needed that explanation last.
But like back in the day, whenever I was basically like getting, it's neither here nor there. It's neither here nor there as to where, you know, the poker and sports betting money is going. It's neither here nor there. But the point is my first company was M2 Concepts, And so that was like, and so I just added him too at the end of that.
I like that. I like, yeah. Chris Heath checking in here. He's like, you know about the, I was like the 13th Chris Heath. I like that he goes, do you recommend M2? It sounds like it's a sequel.
Yeah. Basically is.
Actually, that's basically what Matt just explained.
Yeah, kind of is.
And then I got one from at NJD107 underscore, speaking of Twitter handles. How about Stormy's? That one's tough.
No, well, I've had this conversation with her because no one can spell her last name.
It's tough. I'm living that same thing.
I was like, you could be Stormy B something, whatever, Stormy B Betts or something, something along those lines. Because
so just to recap, like 6 years ago,
is like very tough to spell.
It's very tough. Yeah. But like 6 years ago, Matt Brown did figure out that somehow at Kelly Bidlin did become available again. Yeah. So I was like, oh, great, I'll do that. But do you know how many times I've gotten that, too? I hop on and do, like, radio guest spots or something.
You nailed it.
And they'll be like, hey, Kelly, spell out your full name again because people are trying to follow you that can't. And I'm like, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, well,
because I don't have normal spelling Kelly or Bidlin. Well, there's no normal spelling.
That said, with the power of the internet now, if somebody put in any version of Kelly Bidlin, you would come up. The internet is amazing. Guys, college basketball, rolling baseball season's here. Perfect time to come and be a VSiN Pro subscriber. You can get going for as little as $9.99 or 50% off with an annual subscription. VSiN.com/subscribe. Of course, that gets you the Major League Baseball betting guide that is out currently. Go in, get refreshed on where all these people are playing these days. A lot of people. Pete Alonso is not where you think he is. I'm not going to spoil it. You got to get the guide. You got to go read it. Find out where Pete Alonso plays now.
I know
he
where he plays.
He doesn't play for the Mets. I'll put it that way. You're driving along right now, and you're going to be like, oh, you're going to make me get in a wreck? Okay, he plays for the Orioles. But that's the only one I'm going to tell you. Go in and find out where everybody else is playing. Of course, you get the AI-powered props, the matchup tools. You get the betting splits, all that stuff over at VSiN.com. VSiN.com/subscribe, as little as $9.99. So we did have a ton more NBA news to get to. From last night, Kelly Bidlin, Wizards beat the Pacers 112-105, and somebody's got to win a game of the night. Somebody had to win, so the Wizards decided to win.
By the way, I'm all for having any conversation about the, like, I think it's interesting because I think all these tanking teams are different situations, and how do you bet against them? There's a lot of conversations to be had. You know how my handicapping process goes when I see a game like that on the board? Cross off and onto the next one, Matt Brown. Both teams are trying to lose.
Yeah, like, how do you figure out who tries to lose the best? Is basically what comes down that one. Raptors beat win and cover 110-101 over the Bulls. Brandon Ingram with a game. How about 31 points, 8 boards, and 6 assists for him?
Yeah,
as this Raptors team rolls on.
Watched a lot of this game. I've got some Raptors over win total bets. I'll be rooting on here the rest of the season. I really don't think this team, even if those hit, don't think it's a true threat. In the East. And you know what? Chicago Bulls, I thought, were a little impressive last night. Just plucky, keeping that close, really just able to get that cover in the final couple minutes of the game where the Raptors and Bulls, look, this is basically, we talked about it the other day, basically a whole new team. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you were looking for a 31st NBA team to watch, the new version of the Chicago Bulls M2, got to check out. Yeah.
Spurs cover the 8.5 in a 121-94 win over the Suns in that one. The Spurs had a 27-point lead entering the fourth quarter. Every person on the team played at least 10 minutes in the game. Literally every single person on the team played at least 10 minutes in the game. Wimby had 17 points, 11 boards, 4 assists, and 5 blocks. He only had to play 25 minutes in this one. But I guess the bigger news outside of the Spurs winning a game in which they were big favorites is that Devin Booker only played 9 minutes in the game before he left with a right hip soreness injury. He did not return, so something we'll be monitoring.
Yeah, absolutely. That was that's a brutal loss for a team. And man, if I don't want to speak through my bets, but yeah, you go put that Ott bet in a couple weeks ago for him to win Coach of the Year. Booker missing time is not going to be good. And look, this has still been the most impressive team to me in the NBA this season, of just where I had them preseason expectations to what they're doing. 32-24 on the season, 7th seed in the West. Just a shame to see if Booker's going to miss some time here and what they're going to have to do getting to the finish line of the season.
Yeah, and so, I mean, all this said, you know, we just talked about the Cunningham performance, what Wimby gets done in just 25 minutes in this one and all of that. I texted Kelly last night. The news came through about SGA and, you know, the reevaluation in a week. And, you know, we've been kind of making the case anyway over the last 2 weeks. And so it did just push me over the edge. I threw in Cade Cunningham bet. I threw in a Wimby bet, and then fortunately Cunningham goes out and has a massive game the way that he did. Wimby's odds didn't move all that much, but did move at least a little bit. So have 13 on Cunningham and 33 on Wimby. Now, if SGA does come back in, at, you know, in that week, if they evaluate him in a week and he comes back and plays like he did, I mean, whatever, they're going to lose, but maybe he misses another week. And I think if he misses one more week, then both are not only live, I think both maybe even move into favorites, because there are going to be voters that hold it against SGA that he missed so much time.
Yeah, it's this is going to be an interesting race down the stretch. And I think when you're talking about betting it, it just all depends on what bets you've made so far, and if you've made any bets so far, right? Because I think there is the way, if you haven't made any bets, I think you could approach it like you could have approached it like Matt Brown did. I've said it, though, since he first got hurt. There's a possibility that these numbers do, this number crashes enough with SGA that there does become some value back on him whenever when he comes back to returning, especially when you're going so many of these cases, right? Is are they going to play enough games? Jokic, Wembanyama, maybe most importantly there. So that, like that, there is that reality
and,
too.
And, if you're the other thing there, about last night, just to, about these odds moves. So this was not on the news, because this didn't move until after Cade Cunningham had his big game.
It was the Cade
game,
yeah.
So basically what we're getting at here is we know we're not going to see SGA for another week, right? All we need is another big Jokic performance. We need a big Cade Cunningham performance. When Victor takes the, when Wembanyama takes the court again, go whatever. You might get plus money by the time we see SGA again.
Yes, right.
Because it's not off the news. This was not move off the news. This was move just off what people saw with their eyes and ran in and made the bet because these guys had big games. So if you want a piece of SGA, you just need to root for Jokic and Cunningham and Luka and Wimby to have big games over the next week. But we know we're not going to see SGA, and you're going to get better odds on him.
Yeah. The one guy who, look, all the numbers say he should be in this except for where they're at in the standings, but I just don't believe he really stands a chance this year is Luka. Like, unless this Lakers team makes a real big surge up to a 3 seed or something like that in the Western Conference, I think there's going to be better cases, assuming these guys get to the finish line with the minimum number of game requirements. It all depends on what you bet, right? So I had a silly small Cade bet at 100-1 from early in the season. It's 100-1 though. It doesn't matter if it's small or not. It's still 100-1. I'm loaded up on Jokic from early in the season at about 5-1. So with your ads last night, yeah, I'm sitting there. So I bet Wemby like 2 weeks ago for Defensive Player of the Year, 2 or 3 weeks ago at -105. Just caught it.
Yeah.
Thankfully, right at the right time, it looks like, assuming he gets to the finish line. But, man, if I'm already gambling there, I'm considering doing the same thing you did and adding him in this 30-1 range. Because, look, this Spurs team keeps winning. He clears the benchmark. He's absolutely in this conversation.
And SGA, whatever, maybe they add one more week to his timeline, and next thing you know, we look up and the Spurs have caught the Thunder or something.
Because if I've got Cade 100-1, Jokic 5-1, Wemby 30-1, and basically I think I'm just saying give me the field versus SGA.
Yep, which is basically what you have done. Celtics cover all numbers against the Warriors, 121-110. Jaylen Brown, 23 points, 15 rebounds, 13 assists there in that one. Draymond Green, donut, 0 points for Draymond Green there in that one. Porzingis did play. He only played 17 minutes. We were wondering how much he would play in this game, Kelly. Only played 17 minutes. He did score 12 points in that 17 minutes, but only played 17 minutes for them. And as we said at the top of the show, the outlook for the Warriors does not look great.
No, it does not at all. Celtics, I think even watching that Pistons-Knicks game last night, and they're watching some of this, man, I really think the Eastern Conference is going to come down to Jason Tatum, and it's impossible to predict what you're going to get out of him, right? Like, it's just impossible. I think he's going to be back, but at what level? And I have no idea.
And the Magic absolutely dismantled the Kings, 131-94.
Yeah.
We knew that was going to happen. The Kings hadn't won. Like,
they love to lose
in about 6 months,
and everybody's getting surgery.
Bankero did have 30 points and 6 assists, though, so we will give our flowers to him.
Yeah, good to see him have a big game.
We'll give our flowers to him there in that game. We'll take a look at these guys are out on the golf course, see what's going on out there, and some more baseball talk.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers Game here on VSiN. Matt Kelly. Got a All-American semifinal over there in Dubai, women's tennis. Anisimova and Pegula going at it. Pegula, now up 4-1 in the third set. Loses the first one 6-1. Rallies back 6-4 in the second, now up 4-1 here in the third.
Well, let's go Jessie. She needs that paycheck.
She's
always concerned.
Obviously no trust fund at all.
She needs to save every dollar she can. Every win is important.
Yes, no trust fund for her for sure. Hopefully she can scrape by after the semifinal win, if she can hold
it. You know what my favorite part of my same Pegula joke is every time now, Matt, is that I hope that there's one guy out there who's driving around and he's like, Kelly needs new material with Jessica Pegula.
Or the people that driving around and don't know her backstory and just going like, oh, man, is she really having a struggle? Oh, man, is she having a struggle? Like, I am rooting for her. Like, you know, let's get her some money.
If I've gotten anybody to Google Jesse Pegula because of that, to check got it, then go, oh god, I get it now. Like, they, yes, I've won.
She rich, basically, is where we're going.
She got
that
money.
She rich, parents rich, everybody rich.
Her family owns Canada and New York. That's what I heard.
I mean, basically,
basically,
pretty much. So, we said we had to finish out the people that did not finish yesterday over there at Riviera. And so, with that, they're back out there. The conditions, obviously, much, you know, it's cold,
yeah,
it's cold here. I woke up to 31 degrees.
It's freezing, man. I got this on. I got a full jacket I brought in today.
31 degrees I woke up to, which is unacceptable. By the end of next week, they were back up into the 70s.
It's nutty.
I already looked.
It's a crazy week, Fred Courier. Crazy out here.
We are back
up. Stay in Buffalo.
Into the 70s, so I feel okay with that. But we do look and see the guys that got done. You know, we got some 5-unders in the house. Marco Pinge is sitting right now 5-under through 12. And these conditions right now, these are scoring conditions for these guys. We'll see what it looks like over the weekend. It doesn't look like it's going to rain anymore. It looks like it's going to clear up. So we should see firmer and faster conditions. But right now, Kelly, I mean, they might be able to kind of just fire at these pins, which is something we did not at all foresee, because these are some of the hardest greens to hold. They are firm and fast and some of them slant away from you and all the different things that we hate about greens. But when they are absolutely waterlogged, just completely soaked, then these guys are, again, they're the best golfers in the world. They can just fire at these pins left and right, as we saw yesterday. Adam Scott, if you did not watch this yesterday, please go to the Twitter machine and see. Adam Scott fired at a par 3, and it lands 2 inches from the hole and just plugs into the green. Like, full on half the ball is plugged into the green.
Yeah, it was crazy. But the, you know, the one I'm looking at right now, so...
Uh-huh.
First round leader, because you're right. Like, these are going to be very, I think, very scoreable conditions for these guys that are left playing their first round. Okay, Marco Pinge plus 125, Aaron Rye plus 360.
What's the woo?
It's exactly what I asked myself, Matt. 31-1? He's got what, 5 holes left?
4 holes left.
4 holes left, okay.
So he would have to at least birdie 2 of them. One of them is a par 5. Interesting with the woo. Let's look at how this course, the course stats from yesterday real quick.
It really depends on what you think.
Okay.
Where's Penge going to finish at is the problem.
So I can tell you this, 17. So 16, while it did play over par, it's one of the least ones that played over par. And then.
Also, Siwoo Kim is the woo we're talking about.
Yes. If anyone's listened along, we call he's the woo. We call
him. Assume
the
everybody's
he's,
the
yeah,
no, shots.
He's the woo.
And Min Woo Lee's on the leaderboard too.
He's the woo. Yeah.
Yes, he is.
We would just say Min Woo if it was Min Woo. Yeah. The woo is Siwoo.
Now, I thought I found something here with first round leader, but the problem is with Penge. I think you're either betting Penge or you're not betting this at all. Because otherwise, if Penge is finishing 6-7 under, these other guys are running out of holes to catch him. Right? And you're, even if Siwoo. Like, if you want to make a Siwoo Kim bet right now, you probably need to assume you're getting dead heated at best.
Yeah, that's true. Unless you play it at a ties pay in full place.
Does anybody do that for first round leader?
Yeah.
So they dead heat everything at first round.
No.
Okay.
No. Okay, so we are, again, we're, Scotty's out on the course. He did at least pick up one, but that's not
it. He's back!
Yeah, no. I mean, he did at least pick up a stroke. He's no longer dead last.
Oh, two. He just got another birdie.
Oh, he did? Okay, yeah. Then he picked up two strokes out here. He's no longer dead last. That now belongs to Garrick Higo and Keegan Bradley, who finished their rounds at five over.
And Russell Henley has a chance to catch them.
Yes, Russell Henley could catch them. Man, a lot of names.
Yeah, Rose Scheffler.
I was going to say, having J.J. Spahn, who has really started rough to the season, like having a real tough go at it. So it is the course, certainly the weather played a ton yesterday. But like we said, Scotty's now out there at, oh my gosh, he has four holes left. He could finish it even.
I mean, this is, when you hear moving day, like this might be moving day for this tournament, right?
He could finish it even.
Right, this little window, like this could swing the leaderboard for the entire tournament huge, right? I think these are very scoreable conditions these guys are getting right now. You brought it up. I don't know if I feel exactly the same, that this is going to get much tougher later, or it's going to get tougher when it dries out. But if it does, right, whoever's able to put up the low score and finish this first round with a low score, big time advantage.
It's just unbelievable.
Shoffley's two under.
We'll keep you up. Yeah, keep going. Keep going, Xander. I need that big time.
Yeah, you got
one of my few outrights. Yeah, one of my few outrights. We'll keep you updated here over the next couple hours on that one. But want to take a quick look at the AL Central, a very, very interesting division, mainly because you have two teams that people are in love with in the Tigers and the Royals. Right now, the Tigers are your favorite at plus 120 to win that division, plus 225 on the Royals, plus 330 on the Guardians, and then the Twins and White Sox are way out there at 9-1 and 40-1. I do not like the Twins. I do not like the White Sox. I think that both of those teams have zero chance of winning this division, though. I think the White Sox maybe have a chance of going over that super, super incredibly low win total of 66.5. There is at least a little bit of talent, and they have some guys in the farm system that will eventually get called up, and if they can come up and have any sort of production. So I don't hate them as much as like, oh, they're going to go under 66.5 wins. But
I'm excited for White Sox fans. It feels like the first year in a few where people like there's actually something to be
there's something coming down the line. It's just not here yet.
Not here yet.
But with the Tigers, we do know that it is here for them, and this is going to be pretty big for them because – you know, listen, if you don't come out of the gate, Kelly, doing what you're supposed to do, which again is win this division, you're plus 120, then the whole Skubal trade talks heat up again, right? Because you've got this guy that you had to go to arbitration with because you didn't want to give the contract right out of the bat and all the stuff and yada, yada, yada. And then if you find yourself not in the playoff picture, then does it make more sense to move him? Does it whatever? So, I mean, those are all going to come into play here. But this lineup, it's got a couple of dudes that got to prove it. But outside of that, it's pretty solid. I don't hate this team. And again, I made the bet on them as soon as they made the Framber Valdez signing. I made a bet on them to win this division. I thought that was enough to push them ahead of where the Royals are. But I do think this is a two-team deal. I know there's some love out there for the Guardians. I can't get there with that team. I don't really like the rotation. I don't really like the fact that outside of Jose Ramirez, you don't really have a ton of proven bats in that lineup. And so I think it is between the Royals and the Tigers. If you want to make a case for the Royals, I think you can go down and you can say, okay, well, you got Bobby Witt Jr., who might be the third or fourth best player in all of Major League Baseball. Pasquantino, Salvador Perez been doing it for a very long time. Jack Caglione, we'll talk about him a little bit later whenever we talk about some under-the-radar hitters for fantasy baseball. They traded for Isaac Collins, a guy that was starting there for Milwaukee for a while, certainly has some upside. So I think that lineup has a decent amount of upside. And if Cole Reagans can come back from injury and be Cole Reagans, and Bubich can come back and be Bubich, again, two different guys coming back from injury, Noah Cameron can do at least 80% of what he did last year. You got three really good guys in that rotation, and then you need Waka and Lugo just to not be terrible. So I still like the Tigers, but if you want to play the Royals and say that you think that the Tigers dudes that are unproven aren't going to get it done, Kelly Bidlin, then I would be like, okay, that's fine. I mean, the odds, they're at 225, like double the odds for the Royals. I'm never going to talk anybody off of that.
Yeah, the division as a whole, Joe sounded like he was a bit down on yesterday. You kind of view it the same way? Any real true threats, World Series there, anything like that coming out of here?
Yeah, not really. I like this division overall. I think it's a fun division to monitor for sure, and a fun division to bet on from a division standpoint, but that's kind of where I'm going to end it.
What do you think ends up happening with Skubal? Because like you just brought up that trade situation.
It really depends on if Detroit is going to full-fledged take that next step. And if they do, then they have to sign him to a long-term deal. And then you have two frontline starters, and you kind of just go from there.
Otherwise, doesn't the trade thing make a ton of sense?
Yeah. And if not, yeah. And then if not, he'll get traded for, seven prospects. I can't even imagine what he would bring. He would probably bring six or seven guys.
Yeah.
Something like that. They'd be all prospects. So you're betting on the come as opposed to a guy that we know is going to be one of the top three pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. When we come back, your friend and mine, Chris Felica, on all things sports.